This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a festive showcase of Louisiana music, a tricentennial photo exhibit, or a celebration of Jewish women's leadership in New Orleans, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 35th annual French Quarter Festival, presented by Chevron, kicks off this week. The Homegrown Festival is also an official tricentennial event. Festival President Emily Madero joins us for a look at what's new. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, you were literally baptized by fire as you took the helm as president last year. With one festival behind you now, what are your thoughts about the world's largest showcase of Louisiana music in this tricentennial year?
We have a world-class lineup, of course, but this year we also have a record number of debuts. So we really wanted to stretch ourselves to celebrate this banner year with as many musical debuts as we could fit in the lineup.
What is the economic impact of this 4-day event?
We have a tiny team of 9 and a very small nonprofit budget, but we are so proud that over 4 days, we actually have $196 million worth of economic impact that we bring to Louisiana. And that actually supports over 2,200 jobs. So not only are we able to celebrate and have a good time for 4 days and showcase our incredible music and culture, but it's an important event in our city and in our state in terms of driving business.
What's interesting to me is this is something that began as a neighborhood event 35 years ago. It's just an idea to bring people back to the French Quarter during construction, during the World's Fair, I believe.
Yes. You know, I have to say Dutch Morial was quite the visionary because 35 years later, our founding mission is still very relevant. This year, of course, there's been some construction on Bourbon Street, and we've looked back at our roots and as a way to increase our presence on Bourbon Street and support those businesses that have been affected over the last several months, we're bringing a new traditional jazz stage to the 100 block called the Gateway to Bourbon Street stage. So much has changed over the last 35 years, and certainly we've grown to be a mega event featuring over 300 acts and 1,700 local musicians.
Who's making musical debuts this year?
They took a bump right on a swamp.
Well, Cyril Neville has been to the festival before, but his Swamp Funk Band will be closing out the festival on Sunday, and I'm just ecstatic about that. We also have Chocolate Milk.
We know a place just right outside of Blue City. We wanna take you there. We wanna take you there.
And Zachary Richard on Friday for the first time ever. And of course, we have returning favorites. Amanda Shaw will be closing out the Cajun Zydeco stage on Saturday.
There's a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
Now, there's some special events and tributes going on.
We have a tricentennial homecoming pavilion this year. Anybody can be a VIP. You can come and enjoy the shade and some lounge furniture. New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation will be bringing in the One Time in New Orleans story booth. And this is a really cool thing. It is a mobile video booth where you can go in and film a story about an experience you had in New Orleans, one time in New Orleans. And they're leveraging this smart technology that picks up on keywords that may be a part of your story. So as I might be talking about, you know, this one time I had this incredible debris po' boy at French Quarter Festival on the riverfront, it could be projecting images of food and New Orleans and jazz music. So that should be a fun thing for keepsake for folks and some shareable stories.
Speaking of food, what's on tap this year?
Well, we're doing something a little different. We will have, of course, all of our decadent favorites like Antoine's Baked Alaska and the Rib Room's Debris Po' Boy. But we're also working with Eat Fit NOLA for the first time this year. And we have folks like the Daily Beat bringing avocado toast and all sorts of delicious and healthier options.
Now, I hear that there is a Film Fest and a lecture series associated with the festival?
Yes. In addition to the music, we really want to make sure that we can showcase our culture and incorporate some educational content as well. So Jones Walker is presenting the Let Them Talk series this year. This is going to be at the Mint for 2 days on Saturday and Sunday, and it's such a cool opportunity because you can go and you can see some of your favorite artists that have just played the festival come and talk about their inspiration, their music, their experiences in an intimate setting. So that's the Let Them Talk series that will be at the New Orleans Jazz Museum at the Mint Saturday and Sunday. And then NCIS New Orleans is helping us to present the film festival this year, and that's going to be at the Petit Theater. That will be 2 days of films that feature New Orleans and the music scene. Zachary Richard's documentary will be debuting as well on Saturday.
And as if that's not enough, there's a fireworks display.
Yes. On the riverfront on Saturday evening, the music will wind down. Rebirth is going to be completing their set on the Ibita stage, and we're going to have a special fireworks display that the Burger Company and Hand Surgical Associates has helped us bring. And so that is going to be Saturday. We'll have a barge out there on the riverfront, and if you're anywhere in the French Quarter or New Orleans along the river, you'll be able to enjoy that around 9 p.m.
What is the best way to navigate the grounds?
You should go and download the app right now. We have a fantastic app that GE Digital helped us build. It has the music schedule. It has the menus. It has the map, all the FAQ. So you can use that as a digital brochure in your hand to navigate the festival. With over 23 stages, there certainly is a lot to explore and a lot to see. You can also pick up an offbeat. We will have our cubes in the Gambit with a special insert this weekend. And the Times-Picayune will also be running our cube. So you can't be in New Orleans without having all the information you need on French Quarter Festival.
French Quarter Festival President Emily Madero, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The 35th annual French Quarter Fest runs Thursday through Sunday. Now, as you travel the grounds of the French Quarter, you may notice a new exhibit by Zach Smith Photography Workshops, Faces of the French Market. It's a permanent exhibit commemorating the city's tricentennial at the arched entrance of the French Market. Photographer Zach Smith is here. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Diane. It's wonderful to be back here, and I really appreciate it.
Did you have any idea that pictures captured during a street photography workshop would hang prominently in an historic market?
I did not. I did not think that the result of this workshop would be something so grand as a permanent exhibit in the oldest operating market in the country. It's pretty awesome. My goal with the workshop was to teach photographers, beginners, intermediate, and even semi-pro photographers, how to better tell the story of the world around them. And in doing so, we used the French Market and the French Quarter as that open storybook, because every day, from the break of dawn till the sun sets, there are multiple stories happening: musical, relationships, commerce. And I want to find ways to document that. And I got to do that with 10 different cameras. Think about that. The same story told 10 different ways.
Wow. So what will we see in the faces at the French Market?
One of my favorite images is a photograph of an artist, Oscar, who's been there for quite some time. He uses colored foil and a little microwave and pens to make these beautiful jewelry pieces. His smiling face and his persona are hanging 24 inches by 36 inches from the top of the French Market. When you see it, it just brings joy to your face. You also see vendors, very detailed hands weaving on a spinning clay pot. And you see the big story of the larger scene of the French Quarter. We have some images from Jackson Square, the French Market, that kind of tie in that full story of how important the French Market has been as a cultural hub of vendors with food, art, commerce that have created a place for photographers to photograph since shutters started clicking in the early 1800s. It's pretty amazing to be a part of something like that.
And the works that are in the exhibit are all in color?
I allowed the participants to showcase their work in the best possible way that tells the story that they saw. Sometimes we see the world around us in hues, in contrast, and we want to put our own artistic angle on it. So there's a good mix of color and black and white in there.
You are well known for portraits and fine art photography, and it seems your how-to workshops have taken off. Tell us a little about yourself and the Zach Smith photography experience.
A lot of the photography training I got was through assisting, through watching others, through looking at magazines, and just soaking up the knowledge around me. And in order for me to complete that cycle, I have to give back. It's necessary. It's in my DNA. And I've always felt that if I can educate and strengthen the photographic community around me, that only makes my business, my brand, and the business and brand of others around me get better. The way we can tell a story and learn from each other only gets better if we share that knowledge. So from day one, I've asked people, if you photograph someone, give back. Make a print. Make a smile happen on their face and make their day. I use that philosophy in all of my workshops, whether it's my natural light portrait photography workshop that we do at Crescent Park, my street documentary photography workshop, and also my New Orleans Photography Experience workshop, which I have in the summer, where we take participants out to all aspects of New Orleans, music, culture, Mardi Gras Indians, blues, and we actually photograph the people that make it happen, like Preservation Hall, Little Freddie King, Big Chief Juan Pardo. But the overall lesson is to give back. Make prints, give the images back to the culture that we photograph. Because as a cultural photographer, I find that I'm inspired by the hard work and the sweat and the time that these people take to make what they do the best they can. The feathers that are made for Mardi Gras Indians that are purchased, the beads, the suits from social aid and pleasure clubs, the guitar strings that are bought, the shoes, the jackets, the hats, the way people present themselves, that isn't free, you know? And the images that we make can help them promote what they do. It's this one big family that I hope to be able to connect the next generation of photographers with, that just so that they understand that without each other, we can't progress like that.
What would you say makes a photograph great?
I really feel that a great photograph has intention and purpose. Intention in the why we are making a photograph and the story we're trying to tell. If there's no why, then there's no meaning with subject and environment. There's just an object. There's no story. So we have to ask ourselves the why. And then also the second part is the purpose and presentation. Where's it going to go? Who's going to see it? The value of photography is really resting upon the end viewer. Who's going to see it and what effect will it have on that person? So if we go into making a photograph with the intent and the presentation, I find that the subject, environment, just pop out at you and say, please photograph me. That's the point.
Photographer Zach Smith, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Same here.
Faces of the French Market, an exhibit by Zach Smith Photography Workshops, is on view at the arched entrance to the French Market near Ursa Line and French Market Place. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Across town, Jewish women are being celebrated in a tricentennial exhibit recognizing their contributions to the city of New Orleans. Lador Vidor, Hebrew for From Generation to Generation, continues its run at Longview House and Gardens. We caught up with co-curator Rosalind Hinton by phone in San Francisco. Hello, Rosalind.
Hello, Diane. Thank you very much for giving me a call.
You are celebrating Jewish women's leadership in several areas. Let's begin with some background on the tradition of Lador Vidor. That's spelled L apostrophe D-O-R the_dor, and its inspiration for this exhibit.
We were thinking about Jewish women in terms of our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, and the spirit of mentorship that's passed between generations, how Jewish women have carried on the Jewish imperative of tikkun olam, which is repair the world, and also tzedakah, which is giving back to the community as an obligation rooted in justice. So we have these women who have mentored younger generations, who have pulled generations into their networks, and have imparted leadership skills on women so they can go about the work of the city.
Why is it significant that Longview was chosen as the site for this exhibit?
Longview is the home of Edith and Edgar Stern, and Edith and Edgar Stern are very significant in the early part of the century as philanthropists to the city. They were very significant in founding Dillard and crossing the color line. Women who were brave enough to cross the color line at a time when the KKK and white citizens' councils would harass them every day were part of what we were thinking as inspiring to younger generations to be brave.
So now, how does the exhibit unfold? What will viewers experience?
You'll walk into a very colorful exhibition space. Each section is marked by a different color. We have the arts, social justice, education, and we have a category that's kind of a catch-all called public enrichment. That's about women who have influenced and have had far wide reach in the city. There's about 40 women in the exhibit. Every woman you see stands for about 40 to 140 more women, because women work collaboratively. And when one woman, say Margie Stitch, who in the 1970s started the mobile answer desk in city government and started the first volunteer program in city government and created a van to go around and give people in the Lower Nine and Girktown access to information so they could connect to social services, her first volunteers were the National Jewish Council of Women. That is the story we're trying to tell, not just of the women on the page that you'll see on the walls, but also of the women behind the women.
And it's curious to me that these women represent a small portion of the population in New Orleans.
Yes, they represent about 1% of the population, the whole Jewish community. So that's about a 0.5% of the population if you think of the women. And yet their impact has been simply remarkable. They've created parks. Phyllis Dinery brought public television to the United States. The amendment to bring public television to the nation is called the Dinery Amendment. Other women helped found the ACLU. They've developed daycare centers, worked with Agenda for Children around child care issues, found Planned Parenthood. They've founded NOCA, the Children's Museum, the arts, the opera, the symphony. You see, women in New Orleans, especially at the turn of the century, the Jewish community in general was cut out of a lot of the social activities in the city, and Mardi Gras and the social clubs. So they created their own organizations, and this imperative to give back to the city pushed so many of them into the larger community. There are about 40 photographs of women with their story. There are also about 15 to 20 primary documents from the 1940s. So you'd see a document on how women cared for immigrant populations that were coming in between the wars, how they wrote in their journals and how they wrote and created index cards to say, how did we interact with these people? What did we find for them? Did we get them English lessons? Did we get them housing? Did we get them a home to live in? There are those kind of documents. There are civil rights documents where the National Council of Jewish Women under Celia Katz endorsed this 1964 Civil Rights Act in Congress. There was a letter to the mayor during civil rights saying you need to reopen the Nord pools because you've closed these pools down to avoid integration. You see the women taking action, and you view really 110 years of history through the eyes of Jewish women.
How are you hoping this exhibit will inspire future leaders and generations?
What are the new issues that we need to be involved in? Environment wasn't in people's awareness then. The racism has taken new directions in prison reform and in murder of young men. LGBTQ issues are more at the forefront now. So there's a lot to think about in this exhibit and a lot to take away. But there's also an enormous amount of gratitude for this community of Jewish women.
Rosalind Hinton, co-curator of L'Dor V'Dor, From Generation to Generation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
L'Dor V'Dor is on view through April 29th at Longview House and Gardens. There are two speaking engagements connected to the exhibit, Perspectives in Philanthropy, a conversation with philanthropist Tamara Cranen, Beth Lovin, Sandy Levy, and Linda Houston on April 17th. And Remembering Maxine Kasson, a poetry reading on April 24th. Both events run from 5 to 7 p.m. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.